From the epistle of blessed Paul to the Romans. Brethren, make no mistake about the age we live in. Already, it is high time for us to awake out of our sleep. Our salvation is closer to us now than when we first learned to believe. The night is far on its course. Day draws near. Let us abandon the ways of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us pass our time honorably, as by the light of day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in lust and wantonness, not in quarrels and rivalries. Rather, arm yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend no more thought on nature and nature's appetites. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "The sun and the moon and the stars will give portents, and on earth the nations will be in distress, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and of its waves. Men's hearts will be dried up with fear as they await the troubles that are overtaking the whole world. The very powers of heaven will rock. And then they will see the Son of Man coming up in a cloud with his full power and majesty. When all this begins, look up and lift up your heads. It means that the time draws near for your deliverance." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree or any of the trees. When they put out their fruit, you know by your own experience that summer is near. Just so, when you see this happen, be sure that the kingdom of God is close at hand. Believe me, this generation will not have passed before all this is accomplished. Though heaven and earth should pass away, my words will stand." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We know, of course, from the church's teaching that the words of the Lord were fulfilled when he said, "This generation will not have passed before all this is accomplished," with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And remember, as it was a microcosm for the universe itself, to the Jew that meant the end of the world. And therefore, it was meaningful that this would happen first to the Jews, who were the first to reject the Christ and the first to receive the gift of salvation, but again, to reject it. And therefore, judgment will come upon them first. But ultimately, as St. Paul teaches, the fulfillment of our Lord's will for the Jews will come to pass when at the end of the world there's a mass conversion, as the church teaches De Fide, of the Jews to the Catholic faith as they support Antichrist and Antichrist turns on them. But that being said, the church proposes this to us at the beginning of the Advent season, the beginning of the new liturgical year, the year of grace for us, 2017, so that we be mindful of what we are about to undertake, this special and unique appropriation of time before the Feast of the Nativity, where, because we're so accustomed to the great gift of grace, that we most often take it for granted. Therefore, not different from Lent, Advent gives us the opportunity to reconfigure ourselves appropriately to the gifts we receive, beginning with the Nativity itself, the Incarnation, and then, of course, contemplating the fulfillment of all things with the return of the Christ at the end of the world. And so we're mindful in the Advent season of the message of St. John the Baptist, repent, mindful of the words of the Christ himself in his very first teaching, repent. Advent, of course, is not as old as one might think, but we know that it had a different character early on. Innocent III describes Advent with black vestments. And Innocent III died in the year 1216. So consider the reality then that they would wear black vestments at that time as an indication of the necessity of detachment. Death is the ultimate detachment, which is why the contemplation of death, judgment, heaven, and hell are important for a Catholic. And death is the ultimate detachment, and every Catholic knows that death is a reality. And therefore, Every Catholic then lives a life in preparation for death, unless that Catholic has become a friend of the world. And of course, St. James teaches us very clearly that he who wishes to be friends with the world makes himself an enemy of God. And this is ultimately what we have today in the modern Roman Catholic. Whether he be laity or clergy, he has become a friend of the world, and therefore he's made himself an enemy with God. That is to say, he is promoting things that are agreeable to the world, and where the laity are concerned, choosing to live for the world instead of for the Christ and his church, choosing to live as the world would call them to live, pursuing what the world tells them to pursue, experiencing what the world tells them to experience, chasing after the passing joys the world affords them. And they live life, in particular, the great sacrament of holy matrimony, they live it as the world dictates to them. Therefore, it has no saving graces, and family life is not a reflection of the Holy Trinity. It is not a domestic church where there is holy order and there is virtue being pursued. It is just, for many, mere existence, and for others, coincidental existence under the same roof where everyone is pursuing something different. Therefore, it's important for us who endeavor, who claim to be Roman Catholic, to follow the truths of the Church and to live it to the fullness with regards to our cooperation with grace. And you, in particular, as laity, have a profound role to play in the world today as it is accelerating in its collapse. And it's too easy for you to succumb to the temptation and therefore find your lives in distress and despair and sadness because you're living according to the world's rules. And the world's prince is the devil, and the devil wants only for man despair and discouragement and ultimately self-centeredness. Too many Catholics live self-centered lives, not Christ-centered lives. With all this being said, then, Advent is the opportunity for a recalibration, for us to reconfigure our Catholic lives as we begin a new year of grace. And we can look to the teachings of Pope St. Leo the Great. Pope St. Leo the Great was preaching on the Ember Days, which of course predate Advent. You wouldn't know that by virtue of how many Catholics don't, I repeat, don't even attempt to come to the Ember Days, which we've been celebrating in this parish for the past 2 years. And that's when I have the least amount of people. Those who claim to love tradition, you think they'd be flocking to the Ember Days since they are so old and ancient. But it is not the case. It is mainly the Catholics who go to the ordinary form who are going to the Ember Day Masses. Surprising, since Ember Days are supposed to be a day of sacrifice and anticipation and thanksgiving for the gifts God gives, but days of penitence. And no one seems to want to make the effort, the penitential effort, to be at Ember Wednesday or Ember Friday or Ember Saturday. As a pastor, I can express to you my profound disappointment that no one cares about the Ember Days. But nonetheless, Pope St. Leo the Great communicated about the Ember Days something unique. And we know during the Lenten season that we are called to abstain from that which is licit, those pleasures that are indeed appropriate and good for us. But Pope St. Leo indicated that the Ember Days should be an opportunity to make it a point to abstain from those things that you know are wicked, and those things that you endeavor to do even though you know they are wicked. In other words, abstain from your favorite sins. Be willing to first acknowledge what your favorite sin is and then abstain from it for the 4 weeks. Or in his case, when he spoke about the Ember Days, those 4 times during the year, because if you cooperate with grace in that way and you start building up in your life an awareness of your own sinfulness and a true desire to avoid it, everything will change. We have to acknowledge in our concupiscence that there are things we simply like. Your favorite sin might be venial. Your favorite sin might be mortal. So you have to evaluate and be willing to evaluate what your predominant fault is, which is, of course, one of the basic beginnings of the spiritual life, as perfected, of course, by the Carthusians. And the reality of examining and evaluating your predominant fault and then working against it, it is a truly good exercise to undertake. especially during the Advent season, since we are supposed to be proposing to ourselves preparation for receiving the Christ and the great gift of God to us of the incarnation, and then contemplating his second coming, which of course we want to be ready for. That's why our Lord draws the distinction very clearly. Those who are friends with the world are enemies with God. Hence, when the world's collapsing around them, they are panicked. And when they are facing death, they're overwhelmed and overwrought. But the true faithful Catholic, that is to say, the one that is not friends with the world, but rather is deliberately engaging and even fighting the world in order for Christ to be known, because the prince of the world, it is his kingdom that the church is attacking, not the kingdom of Christ being attacked by the devil. And therefore, the church is a battering ram that knocks down the gates of hell and allows those who are imprisoned to escape, to find freedom in Christ Jesus. The difficulty we face and the difficulty you face in particular as laymen is the fact that most people are in the fortress of Satan quite willingly and quite joyfully because of their favorite sins. And many Roman Catholics indeed are living in that same dynamic. They are living in the fortress of darkness because of their favorite sin, whether it be venial or mortal. They don't want to let it go. They think they cannot live without it. And therefore, those of you who are endeavoring to live virtuous lives, you are called to be attacking the kingdom of darkness and attacking sin where you see it and forcing those gates open by the great gifts of grace God has given to you, so that others may be rescued from slavery to sin, a slavery they often do not recognize. That is why our Lord says, with regards to when everything is falling apart, those who are faithful should stand upright and look up to the Son of Man coming down from heaven and know that their deliverance is at hand. In other words, when the world is collapsing because we're not invested in it, but invested in the things of God, when it's falling apart, we know that Christ is coming and we're actually excited, unless we're living lives of sin. Then we're afraid of being caught unawares. And we see even from the teachings of not only Pope St. Leo the Great, but Pope St. Gregory the Great, of the reality of putting things off with the presumption that we have more time. There's an old adage taught by some of the fathers that every year, when a new year begins, the devil says to you, you have another year to live. So therefore, put off conversion and work until that year is over. And then every year he does the same thing so that we begin to presume we have all the time in the world. And I can put off moving away from sin later. I can put off conversion until later. I can always go to confession later. Now is the time for us to recognize, as I always tell you to do, with the Advent wreath, treat it as a kind of countdown, and believe as though Christ is going to come on Christmas Eve in the literal sense of the second coming. And if you knew that was going to happen, how would you live the next 4 weeks? If you knew Christ was coming on December 24th, how would you live the next 4 weeks? Because that's what the church proposes we consider. And we even enter into a kind of spiritual awareness of that, that Christ could come at any moment. But we can assume that most of us will survive until December the 24th, but then we should pretend as though he is coming. How would we live our lives? Chances are it'd be quite different. Now, of course, those that are concupiscent would gamble, and then on December 23rd, go to confession, which is why the Lord won't let us know when the end of the world is happening, because he knows our weaknesses. But it is a spiritual exercise. Now is the time for us to cooperate in the new year of grace 2017 with the graces God gives us. Detach from your favorite sins, first and foremost, by identifying them, and recognize that if you're not one of those people that does a daily examine, you're not going to be really good at evaluating your faults. And if you're not a regular practitioner of the sacrament of penance, you're not going to be really good at identifying your predominant fault. Now's the time to begin to put into play what is necessary for that. But consider the reality of what your favorite sin is, and consider working against that one sin in particular. Don't let the devil talk you into correcting your entire life in the 4 weeks Start off simply. Start off with the predominant fault and deliberately work against it, in particular by building up the virtue that is opposed to the particular vice, whether it be venial or mortal. And then recognize the graces God sends you and use the sacrament of penance not to pick yourself up after you fall again in presumption, but use the sacrament of penance to give you the grace to avoid that sin altogether the next 4 weeks. Avoid the occasion to sin. Avoid the opportunity to sin. Fast from that thing that allows you to sin. For many people in our culture today, both men and women, it is the scourge of pornography. Cut yourself off from the internet. Make sure it's not even in your home. Is it really all that necessary? Perhaps not for the next 4 weeks. But consider the reality of what we allow ourselves to do, how close we get to the proximate occasion to sin, how close we want to get to it. Those who love to gossip tend to go around the people that gossip. If you know that gossip is a predominant fault, then avoid anyone who gossips and don't tolerate it when it's in your presence and don't permit yourself the luxury of doing it. Identify the predominant fault, whether it be venial or mortal, and work against it. Obviously, if it's mortal, that's the one you want to begin with. Obviously, if it's more than one mortal sin, then begin with the one that is doing the most damage to the virtue of charity in your life. Because charity, once it is eroded, is hard to come by if you're not praying for it. And when you lose charity with your fellow man, you always have already lost charity with God, which means you don't have a life of prayer. You don't have a spiritual life at all. And your life ultimately reflects it because it has no direction, no meaning, no purpose. It's merely existence. So follow the advice of Pope St. Leo the Great during this Advent season, which he was applying to the Ember Days, and consider not just the reality of the joyful aspect of preparing for the first coming of Christ in his nativity, but also keep in mind the second coming of Christ when he comes not as Savior, but as Judge. And we should be living a life that is a reflection of being prepared to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, a life where we are truly avoiding, sincerely avoiding sin. Start now at the beginning of the year of grace, 2017, and it will become that much easier the rest of the year. Now is the time to cooperate with the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.